As we got the order to take off, and I climbed hurriedly into the cockpit of my machine, I felt an empty sensation of suspense in the pit of my stomach. For I knew that morning I was to kill for the first time. When I was being strapped in, my mind automatically checking the controls, and we were off. We ran into them at 18,000 feet. 20 yellow-nosed Messerschmitt 109s, about 100 feet above us. Our squadron strength was 8, and as they came down on us, we went into line astern and turned head-on to them.
Well, there's another fight going on way up now, I say about 20, 25,000, even 30,000 feet above our heads, and we can't see a thing of it. The anti-aircraft guns have just put up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bursts, but I can't see the aeroplanes. There we go again. What? Well, yes, oh, we just hit a Messerschmitt. Oh, that was beautiful. He's coming right down now. I think definitely that burst caught him. Down, yes, he's come down. He's come down. You hear those cries. He's finished. Oh, he's coming down like a rocket now. Absolute steep dive. Let's move around so I can watch him a bit more. Here he comes. Down in a steep dive. A Messerschmitt looking for the parachute. And he's looking for the... No, the pilot's not getting out of that one.
I kicked the rudder to the left to get him at right angles, turned the gun button to fire, and let go in a four-second burst with full deflection. He came right through my sights, and I saw the tracer from all 8 guns thud home. For a second, he seemed to hang motionless.
There are 3 Spitfires chasing 3 Messerschmitts now. Oh, boy, look at them going, and look how the Messerschmitts... Hey, that is really grand. And there's a Spitfire just behind the first two. He'll get them. Oh, yes. Oh, boy, I've never seen anything so good as this. The RAF fighters have really got these boys taped. Our machine is catching up the Messerschmitt now. It's catching it up. It's got the legs of it, you know. Now, right in the sights. Now, go on, George. You've got him. No, the distance is a bit deceptive from here. You can't tell. But I think something definitely is going to happen to that first Messerschmitt.
My first emotion was one of satisfaction. Satisfaction at a job at least adequately done. At the final logical conclusion of months of specialized training. And then I had a feeling of the essential rightness of it all. He was dead, and I was alive. It could so easily have been the other way around, and that would somehow have been right too. I realized in that moment just how lucky a fighter pilot is. He has none of the personalized emotions of the soldier, handed a rifle and bayonet and told to charge. He doesn't even have to share the dangerous emotions of the bomber, who night after night must experience that childhood longing for smashing things. The fighter pilot's emotions are those of a duelist, cool, precise, impersonal. He is privileged to kill well. For if one must either kill or be killed, as now one must, it should, I feel, be done with dignity.
I suppose I was about 12,000 to 15,000 feet when I bailed out. Immediately I started somersaulting downwards, and after a few turns like that, I found myself diving headfirst for the ground. After a second or two of this, I decided to pull the ripcord. The result was that I immediately straightened up and began to float down. Then an aircraft, a Messerschmitt, I afterwards heard, came tearing past me. I decided to pretend that I was dead and hung limply by the parachute straps. The Messerschmitt came back once, and I kept my eyes closed. But I didn't get the bullets I was half expecting. I don't know if he fired at me. The main thing is that I wasn't hit. While I was coming down like that, I had a look at myself. I could see the bones of my left hand showing through the knuckles. Then, for the first time, I discovered I'd been wounded in the foot. Blood was oozing out of the lace hold of my left shoe. My right hand was pretty badly burned, too. So I hung down a bit longer, and then decided to try my limbs, just to see if they would work. Thank goodness they did. I still had my oxygen mask over my face, but my hands were in too bad a state to take it off. I tried to, but I couldn't manage it. I found, too, that I had lost one trouser leg, and the other was badly torn, and my tunic was just like a lot of torn rags, so I wasn't looking very smart. Then, after a bit more of this dangling down business, I began to ache all over, and my arms and legs began to hurt a lot. When I got lower, I saw I was in danger of coming down in the sea. I knew I didn't stand an earthly if I did, because I wouldn't have been able to swim a stroke with my hands like that. But I managed to float inland. Then I saw a high-tension cable below me and thought it would finish me if I hit that. Fortunately, I was traveling towards a nice open field. When I was about 100 feet from the ground, I saw a cyclist and heard him ring his bell. I was surprised to hear the bicycle bell and realized I had been coming down in absolute silence. I bellowed at the cyclist, but I don't suppose he heard me. Finally, I touched down in the field and fell over. Fortunately, it was a very calm day. My parachute just floated down and stayed down without dragging me along, as they sometimes do. I had a piece of good news almost immediately. One of the people who came along and who had watched the combat said they had seen the Messerschmitt 110 dive straight into the sea, so it hadn't been such a bad day after all.